Blog Talk Radio.
This is Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy Radio is live talk radio for all equestrians and those that love the equestrian lifestyle. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Well, welcome to our show today. We're really excited to have three special guests that have taken their time to join us today in our conversation. We'll be talking about the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association World Versatility Show that's coming up next week, a week from today, on the 25th of the month. And so we're very grateful to have with us these three guests. First of all, let's say hi to Mr. Rick Weiss from Big Arm, Montana. Hi, Rick.
Morning, Gary.
Good morning. And we have J.D. Harbor from Music City, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, J.D.
Hello, how you doing?
Great, great. And then finally we have Mr. Kevin Gillum from Oxford, North Carolina, that's on the call. So good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. A little bit warm here in Middle Tennessee today.
Same
but,
here.
That's July in the South, so that's all right. Well, let's start our conversation talking about the World Versatility Show that's coming up. We're going to have a lot of things to cover today in the show, and I think that all of our guests will find the topic's very interesting. And I mention this during every show. We talk a lot about the Tennessee Walking Horse, but our programs are designed to be of interest for people regardless of your breed. So we hope that you'll find this conversation interesting and something that you'll enjoy hearing. So, Rick, let's start with you. You're the vice president of the Pleasure Horse Division with the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders Association. And I think the World Versatility Show is kind of your baby, isn't it?
Well, yes, it does fall under our Pleasure Horse Division, and you know, we're just real happy with the progress and the growth of our show. I would like to say, Gary, before I get into that, I want to thank you and appreciate what you've done. As our listeners may not be aware, you do chair the Trails Subcommittee of the Pleasure Horse Division. And the initiatives that you've taken and your involvement have been outstanding. And we really do appreciate it. A lot of good ideas have come out of that. This radio show and the opportunity to present a lot of these things to people have been very beneficial.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick.
I also want to mention that Mr. J.D. and Mr. Kevin, as you may not know, are both Pleasure Horse Ambassadors of the Year for TWHBA, so we have some very distinguished people online. Mr. J.D., obviously, for his work with the Service Horse Program, has been a great PR for us with the Mounted Patrol Units and so forth. Mr. Kevin has been phenomenal with the participation in the World Versatility Show, the many youth that he's brought in that have continued on as adults and still participating. So we appreciate those people. It's quite an honor for them. We only give out one Pleasure Horse Ambassador of the Year.
Well, we're very pleased that they could join us today. And you know, our shows and our programming is only as good as our guests. And so we appreciate all of the guests that have been on the show and certainly appreciate you three gentlemen joining us today. Rick, let's start out just a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, telling us about how the versatility program, the versatility show itself got started, and how many years has this been going on now?
Well, you know, the versatility show started in the mid-90s, and it was actually held during the celebration for, I think, a couple of years. It was just an afternoon event, actually. From there, we moved into the MTSU, I don't remember what they call that, the show pavilion there at the university.
Yeah, the Tennessee Livestock Center. Yeah.
Yes. Uh huh. Right. And you know, it was a one-day show. We moved to the Miller Coliseum. It grew into a two-day show, and we have actually now grown into a three-day show. I believe this is the third or fourth year for a three-day show. So we continued. You know, we just continue to grow. An example of the growth of the World vs. Tilly Show, Gary, is last year we actually had a total of 557 entries. The previous year was 502. And in 2010, we had 361 entries. 2009, I don't have the exact figure, but somewhere around 250. And I think 200 or a little less the year before.
Wow.
So, basically, we've tripled our entries in the past 4 to 5 years. So we're, you know, we're just very happy about that. One of the things that we do try to make our World Versatility Show is a fun show. I think that's one of our main emphases. Our horses have improved tremendously through the years in these events. The competition is tough. People come. They are competitive, but at the same time, if you're up there and you're ready to go in the ring and you forgot your hat, they're going to loan you a hat, and they're going to enjoy this show and make it a fun event, and we really appreciate that.
Well, that's great. That's what it's all about, is having fun with our horses and getting involved in some different disciplines and activities that we can enjoy them in. So how are the entries looking now? I know it may be a little bit early because most people are a little bit late in doing that, but how are things looking now for the show this year?
Well, I wish I had an answer for that. I really don't at this point. A lot of the entries, Kristen does tell me that entries are coming in, but I did not get a figure from her. So hopefully it looks good. We always hold our breath and hope that people do show up.
Right.
But I hope it looks good. Our sponsorships have really been good. I do want to thank our staff there at the Tweeble office. Kristen and Michael Gray do a tremendous job for us. And Sarah G is phenomenal at putting up our patterns, all the patterns for the reining and showmanship and everything is up on that website. And that's a tremendous help for people coming to the show. They know what those patterns are way ahead of time. A few things I'd like to point out about this show, Gary, is our prize money is $150 in each class, which gives us $8,500 in payback through each of the classes. We also have a $2,500 ManaPro reining jackpot. That brings us up with the 58 classes that we offer over $11,000 in prize money. In addition to that prize money, we have another $2,000, which is offered through our High Point awards. Again, this year, we will have a Youth 11 and Under, which will be a High Point and a Reserve High Point champion. That pays $250 and a halter and $100 for reserve. The Youth 12 to 17 High Point also pays $250 and a halter and $100 for reserve. Our Adult High Point is $250 and a halter, as well as $100 for the Adult Reserve. We also last year added an Elite Division, which is for the older, more mature people like myself.
Yeah,
that
I'm always glad to hear about that.
60 and over, and that's $250, and reserve $100. We also have a professional High Point that pays $100. Our overall High Point winner this year will receive a $500 National Bridal Shop gift certificate. So this is not small potatoes.
No, that sounds like a great payback for people while they're still having a good time and enjoying their horses. So a little extra incentive to get involved in that. You know, this reining jackpot has been of interest to me since I first heard about that, Rick. And if I'm not mistaken, first place in that is $1,250.
That's correct. We play three places. Second is 750, and third is 400.
So that's a great opportunity for some good dollars there, and I'm kind of excited to see who's going to show up and participate in this reining class this year. So
we've
it sounds
had,
like
we've had good participation in that, Gary. I think one year we had 27 horses.
Wow. That will be exciting, and the reining class is on what day?
The reining is on Friday. No.
Yes.
On
is
Friday?
Friday, class 39.
That sounds like somebody that's planning on being there.
We do. We've got one horse that one of my students will be showing in that class, in the reining class.
Great. Well, that's exciting that you're bringing these folks from North Carolina to do that, Kevin. Let me ask you, Rick, just a little bit about the type of classes that people will be able to see, because let me remind you guys that our listeners are worldwide. We have people that are listening in South Africa and over in Europe and Canada, across the United States and other countries as well. So tell us a little bit, Rick, about the type of classes and competitions that people will be involved in, and what people might expect to see if they come as a spectator.
Well, Gary, you'll basically see all the versatility classes that we offer through our versatility program. The first day of the show will be basically a dressage the whole first morning. Dressage has taken off really well. Horses have improved. I might mention that all classes at this show is a championship class. There's no five classes where you have to qualify. Everything you ride in here, when you come out of that class, you're a world versatility champion. We have added this year Western dressage, which is really growing by leaps and bounds around the country. And these classes, Gary, are not just rail classes where you go in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, they're over. Dressage takes, you know, an hour, hour and a half sometimes per class, because that's the nature of that class.
So we have
we have a very rigorous schedule, but it's, I think, been very well run and kept right on schedule for us. But you'll see model classes, you'll see Western riding, obstacle driving, all the youth showmanship type classes. You know, we'll have a lot of fun classes, the water glass. You will see timed events such as poles and barrels. We've added a catalog race this year, which is kind of just a fun event for people to get out and enjoy. We'll have all of the standard trail classes on Thursday evening, which includes your trail pleasure and light shod and country pleasure divisions. We've also added this year, Gary, the halter class, a youth and adult halter class. This is an opportunity. Difference from model is judged on confirmation, where halter class is judged on confirmation and way of going.
Okay.
So this gives people an additional opportunity to earn points in that model halter division, and we're hopeful that that will be well participated. We will have the hunter hat type classes. There will even be an over fences class.
That'll be exciting. You know, this is a call-in show, and we've got a caller on here. So let's take just a minute to break, and let me remind folks, if you'd like to call, the number is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396, and let's see who we have joining us on the call. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ernie Brubaker.
Well, Ernie, how are you?
Fine, sir, how's yourself?
Good, are you in Lexington?
No, I'm on 65 heading north. Hopefully Linda Starnes and I can meet up and we'll convoy to Lexington, so we're on our way.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate you calling in. For our listeners, of course, if you listened a few weeks ago, Ernie was on the show with us and talked about the Just Say Whoa program that he and Ranger T. Walker represent for the Breeders Association. And I'll just take a moment to mention this, Ernie, while you're on the phone, but Briarfest is going on starting today through the 21st at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. And Ernie and Ranger T. Walker will be there to discuss and visit with people about the Just Say Woe to Drinking, Drugs, and Bad Decisions program. And Linda Starnes, and I'm sure Larry will be there as well. And then I believe Sue DeLaurentis and Lady C will be there as well, another walking horse that will be representing folks at the Briarfest. So, but Ernie, what do you want to tell us today?
Well, I just wanted to call in and you know, I heard Rick talking about the upcoming show in Murfreesboro next week. We're certainly going to be there as well to carry the flag on Thursday night, I believe it is. And then, of course, on Saturday, we're having the Law Enforcement Obstacle Challenge, which J.D. is heading up, and we'll be there for that as well.
Well, great. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing you there at that. And for our listeners that are in the Kentucky and Ohio and Tennessee area that might want to and plan on attending Briarfest, be sure to do that and stop by and visit with Ernie and Ranger T. Walker, and I'm sure get some good information about that program and how you might participate in your area as well. So,
right.
Ernie, you're welcome to stay on the phone with us a little bit. We're going to be talking more about the Mounted Patrol Challenge that's going to be taking place at the Versatility Show shortly. So if you'd like to stay on the line, glad to have you.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll just mute myself out.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ernie, for calling. Well, Rick, let's get back and visit a little bit more about the different programs. And since Ernie called, let's bring JD in and talk for just a minute about that new competition that's going to be taking place, and that's at Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we may talk a little bit about the service horse program that the Breeders Association has put in place. But JD, join in the conversation and tell us a little bit about you and your involvement with Mounted Patrol and the service program.
Well, let's talk about the competition we're going to do on Saturday,
all right,
the 27th. We want folks to come out and see this. And if there's any of our listeners out there that are involved in search and rescue or have aspirations of having a service horse, we want them to come out and run the course and have some fun. The course is sort of like I'd call it a trail class on steroids.
Okay.
There'll be obstacles such as sky dancers, construction barrels, rocking bridges. We'll have teeter totters, a lot of crime scene tape, smoke machines, a lot of things that will show. We use these things to train our service horses to develop that bond between the rider and the horse. So stuff doesn't spook them. So it's sort of bomb-proof. But it should be interesting and very colorful.
Well, we're excited to have that added this year. And, of course, and we'll talk more about the service horse program with TWEBA in just a little bit. But do you have any idea about how many teams will be competing?
Well, I don't really. Of course, I know that I've got three coming from my old department, and I'm excited to see them. Hadn't seen them in a while, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. And, of course, Ranger T. Walker and Ernie's going to be there. I've got some other calls from different places, so we'll just have to wait and see how many folks we've got. Of course, one thing about the departments is a lot of them, if they have something major going on, they won't be able to get out and see us, but we're hoping that they'll be able to break away or maybe send one or two and let them come up and compete and have a good time. What we're also hoping to do is give the search and rescue and those people a chance to get out and meet our walking horse people and help, and maybe they'll be able to recruit some people to get involved in search and rescue or the service horse aspect of the breed. And this is an all-breed competition. this mounted competition that we're going to do. So it doesn't matter what kind of horse you got, we're going to come out and have some fun.
Well, that sounds like something exciting to see, and we encourage people. We really encourage people, if you haven't seen these types of events before, to come out and visit the Versatility Show. But I think Saturday and seeing the service horse competition is going to be really excited. So now, is this going to be anything like Extreme Cowboy Racing?
Well, sort of. It not only do you have to have speed, but a lot of control. Control is a very big issue because we want to make sure that the horses are safe when they go out on the street. So you not only do you have speed, you have control. We're also going to leave up our competition course, and after the competition course, if there's other people there that would like to come over and try their horses or bring them in, lead them around, let them look, we'll let them just sort of get an idea of what we do. All these obstacles that we do are designed to show that bond between the horse and the rider, so when they get out on the street, they won't run into a problem.
Well, that is exciting. Now, Rick, is there going to be someone that you know of that will be judging this, or J.D., how will this be judged?
Well, being that most of the people there that are going to be in this competition will be carrying guns, we'll keep the judge a secret. and before it's over with, we'll leave them out in an unmarked vehicle. We'll get them off the ground. But it's a timed event, and we'll have a clock keeper. And I'll be involved, and I've got another retired sergeant from Goodlettsville, Tennessee. He's going to be there helping me run the course. And when we do these, everybody pitches in.
Right.
When you're not riding, you're out there setting up obstacles or setting stuff up that gets knocked over or judging. But this is mainly a bragging rights type thing here.
Gotcha. Well, it's something I know everybody's going to be excited to see and witness. And hopefully from this, more people will decide they want to get involved in participating with their horses in search and rescue. And we'll talk about this more. I think there's an equine therapy portion to the service horse program as well. So a lot of things that we can talk about a little bit later. Kevin? Let's visit
Yes.
with you just a little bit as far as tell me your involvement in the walking horse business and a little bit about Bayfield Farm and what you've been doing, because I know your focus is and I think I'm right, primarily on young people.
That is correct. We do have a large youth lesson program here in Oxford. We started the farm here in Oxford in 1996. We've got probably around 40 students. The youngest being 6, and the oldest she probably wouldn't want me to say. I'll have to leave that out.
You're a wise man.
I said, we are coming to the World Versatility Show, bringing 10 at this moment, and staying for the international. We've got 70 horses or so on the property, boarded or lesson horses or training horses. We do offer training as well as lessons.
Right. Now, aren't you active in young people with 4-H programs and some other things as well as the versatility?
Right, yes. We have a large 4-H group, averages about 20 kids that stay pretty active, from community service projects where we visit the local rest homes with a pony and carry it in the rest home, let it visit, kind of like a service animal.
Right.
Visit with the patients in the rest home. We do canned food drives, help out needy families at Christmas and Thanksgiving, different holidays, and participate in local shows as well as the district and the state, and then sometimes, time permitting, regionals and location.
Okay. How many years now have you been coming to the World Versatility Show?
I would say somewhere 2000, 2001 for sure.
Okay, so
it's been a long while.
Yeah, at least a dozen years, so that's great. So how have your kids, your students done in the versatility show, in the world versatility show?
Well, last year or year before, Natalie Wilburn was youth high point overall, and we've been pretty competitive, the students I've taken, in equitation and showmanship. We've branched out a little bit into dressage as well, and Natalie, of course, did a whole lot of different events, jumping and dressage, hunter hack, all of those events. So we're trying to branch out to really have a broad spectrum of the different versatility classes.
Okay. Now, and there'll also be some rail classes, a show on Thursday evening. So your kids participate in the rail classes as well as the versatility portions?
Right. Yes. Madison will do country pleasure. Caitlin, trail pleasure. So those two will be competing on rail classes as well as other versatility classes in the kids.
So I'm not sure where Oxford is. How long a drive is that for you to come down to Middle Tennessee and compete?
Comfortable drive, 11 hours.
Wow. So it really is worth it's worth spending 11 hours of driving and all the preparation time to get ready to be able to be competitive in a world-class show.
Yes, just, you know, that both of those shows are a great show. They're fun. The people are great. So we kind of look at it as a semi-vacation horse show.
Well, that's great. That's great. You know, it was last week we had Dr. Gene Wood on. And, Rick, I know that you're familiar with Gene. He is Professor Emeritus with Clemson University, and he is in charge of the programming for the National Equestrian Trail Conference. And that's going on in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and that starts today and runs through the 20th. So we want to mention that, and the Breeders Association also is a silver sponsor for the National Equestrian Trail Conference. But I mention that because one of the things that we talked about last week, and Dr. Chris Herman was on the show as well, was the fact that when you go to horse shows and you look around, you see a lot of people with gray hair or no hair. And that kind of struck me. I was at a horse show a couple of weeks ago, the Woodbury show, and I looked around and I thought, these folks look almost as old as me and a few older. The versatility program, Rick and Kevin, really gets the young people involved, doesn't it?
We certainly like to have our youth involved. You know, the problem with the youth is they get involved and then they turn 18 and then they become adults. And so it's a continuous flow of people coming in all the time. And so it seems like it runs in cycles. But recently I have noticed that particularly our World Versatility Show, an increase in our youth. And so, you know, that's a good step in the right direction because we need those kids in here.
Right. Well, I know one of the things that that Chris brought up was the fact that she was very active from the time she was eight through her high school years, and then she went to college, and that was a challenge, and then she did her residency, and that was a challenge, and then she told her mama, Bonnie, that she wanted a horse out in California to play with, and that was a topic of discussion, I think, about whether studies or the horse was more important, but I believe the horse won out.
I hate to say this, Gary, but I can remember judging Chris when she was like 9 or 10 years old in Illinois on her big old chestnut horse, and you could barely see Chris up there. The horse was huge.
Well, and that was the thing that we discussed about. Kevin, you have a lot of young people. I guess are most of your students and folks what age? High school age? Junior high school?
Mostly junior high. A lot of them are aging up this year, so a lot of them are starting junior high and high school. are the majority, but then elementary school, we've got probably 10 or so students that are still in elementary school. So a wide range, right, I guess now. High school probably being the smallest number.
Okay, all right. And since you've been working with these kids since, I think you said, 96 when you started Bayfield, how many of these kids do you think have been affected because of their relationship with horses and their competition in the equine sports?
Golly, over, probably hundreds, I would have to say, throughout summer camp. You know, we do a bunch of different things, summer camps, Girl Scout camps, one-day camps for inner-city kids so that, you know, everybody kind of gets a chance to see what it's like to be on a horse farm and what owning a horse is like.
Right, right. Do you have old students that come back after they've become adults, and you've been doing this long enough now where that could be the case, and are still involved with horses, or?
Yes. One of the riders that we're bringing this year to the show, Heather Wright, is finished with college, and she had to take a little break during college, and then after that she has stayed in it. You know, now she's gotten more involved since she's finished school. One of my other students has started as a small child. Julia Day is now married and helps teach some of the beginning and young students, the 4-H kids.
Right. Well, I think that's great, and I'm sure that with young people being exposed to horses and the equine sport and the competitiveness and the camaraderie, that it probably has a positive effect on their life and what they do going forward because of that type of relationship. So we have to get them through some of those college years and young adult years, and hopefully they'll come back when they're able to do that.
When the aliens take them over.
That's right. That's right. What type of events do your students seem to enjoy the most? The rail classes or the versatility classes, the speed classes?
The speed classes, of course, which I can use as bait for the rail classes.
Okay.
So, you know, if I throw in some speed stuff, then I can make them concentrate a little bit more on the rail class stuff. But they all enjoy the speed class stuff.
Well, that kind of goes along with the age thing, I think. We look for a little excitement when we're younger, and then we kind of have to be settled down a little bit as we get to that gray hair, no hair stage in our lives.
Definitely.
As well. Yeah. Rick, let me come back to you just a little bit and talk some more about the different classes. You know, I had to ask the other day. Linda Starnes was on the show, and Linda's, of course, she's a pretty exciting lady and gets enthused about anything walking horse. But some of the classes I wasn't familiar with. I didn't know what a ride a buck class was. I mean, my imagination was running wild until it was explained to me. So talk a little bit about the classes that we'll see, like the ride a buck and the egg and spoon and some of those things.
Well, the ride a buck, Gary, is a fun class. Everybody gets a dollar bill. They put it under their leg. And they're riding bareback. And so whoever has that dollar bill left at the end is declared the winner. And they will get not only the prize money, but they'll get all those dollar bills, too.
Wow. Wow.
So it's just a fun class that we put in. That goes back to that fun I was talking about.
Gotcha. Well, now I guess if everybody's at a flat walk, their buck is staying pretty much where it's supposed to be. What happens how do you start eliminating people?
Well, you obviously do things like a running walk, and you stop, and you back, and you reverse. You could have them switch hands on the reins, which takes away a little bit of their balance. You know, and those types of things. Egg and spoon is very similar to that, where you carry an egg and a spoon. water glass is kind of along that same line, where you carry a glass of water. Whoever has the most glass or the most water left at the end wins that class. You know, Gary, if I could just real briefly, you asked Kevin how far he went. I have in front of me a list of owners last year and the distances they traveled to be there.
Right.
Just to mention a few, I mean, it's pretty tremendous. People from Illinois 289, Oxford, North Carolina 544. We have Odessa, Missouri at 552 miles. We have Farmer City, Illinois 399. We have Naples, Florida 832 miles. We have Michigan, 490 miles. We have Winter Garden, Florida, 642.
Wow.
Tracy Pinson, 619. Sandpoint, Idaho. Miss Phyllis Langley, know her very well, very nice lady, 2,200 miles.
My gracious. So this is a big deal for these folks. They're really, really putting some miles to come and participate in a world-class show.
Well, and that's what makes it a world-class show is the participation like this that we get from it. So anyway, I thought I'd mention that real quick.
Well, I appreciate that because we need to know that folks are really they spend a lot of time preparing for this this type of event. Kevin, how many versatility type shows, open shows, different events will your kids participate in through the year leading up to the World Versatility Show and the International?
We, from April until the middle of November, have 3 weekends off.
My gracious.
So we're busy, you know, except for those 3.
And how many hours during the course of a week will these young people spend with their horses?
During the summer, a lot of the kids get here starting at 7 o'clock in the morning and leave at 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So they're here all day.
And so there's a lot of commitment there on their part and your part as well.
Correct.
To prepare these kids for that. So that's great. That is great.
They work hard.
Well, that's exciting. And you say you've got 10 folks that are coming. What different classes will they participate in? We talked about the reigning class a minute ago. Let me ask this question. I wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago, and we didn't. What kind of preparation, how do you prepare and train a horse to get ready to do something like reining?
We have enlisted outside help, different reining trainers, to get ideas so that we could understand what it took to make a nice reining horse. And so we've just really kind of included those different techniques in our training program and just concentrated it so that we could be competitive. A lot of the things that the reining horse does, our walking horses aren't accustomed to doing. You know, the slide and stop. You do want them to be soft and flexible, but the different aspects of the running and the collection is different, but yet it's all relative. So that's what we've done, is enlisted outside help and gone to a bunch of shows and watched to see, you know, how it actually is done so that we could ask our horses to do the same kind of things.
Well, how competitive are you in the open shows against quarter horses and other breeds?
We're still considered like green. They have a green level, and
mm-hmm.
As long as everybody stays on course, we are pretty competitive.
Great.
The human mind and the horse mind, sometimes it always doesn't do the right thing, and you can take a chance of getting off course. But if you're on course, we're still in there.
Well, great. Well, I know when Chris was on last week, we were talking about her showing out in California and I think it's the Western International Circuit, I believe, that they're on. But in some of the open shows, because they don't have as many opportunities to show in just a walking horse show, she said she's pretty competitive, can come in and tie very well and kind of, and on occasion, beat these quarter horses. So the walking horse has the ability to compete at a pretty high level, given the amount of time and training to get to that point.
True.
How long does it take to get a horse up to a high level in reining competition?
It really takes about a minimum of 2 years to really get the rider and the horse to focus and understand what they're supposed to do.
So a lot of patience, a lot of time that goes into spending time with your horse, and it's a learning process both for the rider and for the horse to be competitive in that.
Correct.
So that's exciting. Well, again, we're looking forward to the Manor Pro Reining Jackpot class and seeing that competition. And I believe you said there were about 39 last year, Rick, that competed?
Don't quote me on that. There may have been 20, give or take, last year.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway,
I think in the dressage, Gary, we had 30-some.
Okay. All right. Well, that should be pretty exciting. And by the way, I'm glad
if I could just mention a few things before I forget it. Kristen asked me to let everyone know that our entry office is open on Wednesday from 2 to 6 for entries to be made. Also, the service horse obstacle is on Saturday. We've already mentioned that.
Right.
There's no charge for parking or admission at the World Versatility Show. We do have a silent auction, which a lot of items have already been donated. And so that's held at the entry office, and those items will be on display there. Ranger T. Walker is going to be our flag horse on the Thursday night session. And the Rutherford Sheriff's Department will be the flag horse for the maturity. Hats and T-shirts with World Versatility logo on it is also available at the entry office. I just wanted to do that before I forgot it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And by the way, you've mentioned Kristen a couple of times, but that's Kristen Stiegel. And Kristen handles a lot of the programs for the Breeders Association, and I think she's pretty invaluable young lady. I appreciate her when I've had to call for something, and so Kristen's been very involved in getting this show underway and getting things put together and organized, and so we certainly appreciate her and Michael and Sarah and the others that are involved in putting on a world-class show as well. JD, wake up.
I'm here. I'm awake.
Okay. I just want to make sure you had dozed off on us. Let's take just a minute, and we'll get back to the versatility show and Kevin again as well. But talk with us just a little bit about the service horse program. We just announced that was a new program that the Breeders Association has introduced, and I know you're instrumental in that program. So could you talk to us a little bit about the program and how it works and how people can participate in that?
Sure. First of all, it's a work in progress. We're still adding stuff and building our site. But it's coming together, and we should have everything online, I'd say, pretty soon, which is going to be really good. The mission for the Service Horse Program is to assist people that want to serve their communities and use their horses. And a service horse is identified as a mounted patrol or equine-assisted therapy or search and rescue, horses with jobs. And it's open to all breeds of horses. And what started this is for 15 years, I was the supervisor over the Metro Nashville Police Department Mounted Patrol. And we would do a training clinic every year for those 15 years. And I noticed that I kept getting more and more people that weren't full-time law enforcement, but they worked as search and rescue, is volunteers for sheriff's department, posses, and there seemed to be a lot of interest with people that wanted to get involved and do stuff with their horses and to give back to their communities. And what we were noticing was is one of the stumbling blocks that they had in starting these was getting the proper training and having the proper documentation of that training. And so we got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could help these people set up their units and get the training that they need? So I approached TWHBA and I said, hey, y'all have been just great helping us get started, but I would like to see if we could help a lot of other people get started. And the first when I first approached them, I was thinking just the walking horse people.
Right.
And TWHBA said, hey, you know, this is a good cause. Let's open it up to anybody that's got a service horse. We won't care what breed. And so we set some goals and objectives, and we've been working towards those. We just started entering some training in our online training on the website. We're just getting it up and going so people can keep training records on their horses, on their service horses. And soon we should have some, we just got through shooting some training video. We're going to put out some training videos, online training. And one of the things that we also noticed too in the beginning was it cost a lot of money to haul a horse all over the country to get training.
Right.
And I had people coming to the schools that I was doing in Tennessee. They were coming from Oklahoma. They were coming from Michigan. Oakland County, Michigan always sends a bunch to the schools that I did. They were coming from all over, and it cost a lot of money to haul horses that far. And so one of the objectives that we were going to try to do is to develop a distance learning program where there's certain things that you could learn by sitting at your computer and watching.
Right.
But get it to where it would you could actually document that the people watch those videos. So what we're planning on doing is we'll have these online training sessions that people can go log on. They'll be there, and they can view these. And at the end of the year, they'll get a printout on all the courses that they took online. It might be developing side pass, which is real important for service horses, or it might be general formation riding. And plus, it would help prepare these people to go to a clinic that we're hoping that we can put on across the United States. It would help prepare them before they go to a clinic, so they would be ready and it would be more beneficial to them. So we're working on all this and working and getting it done. And I foresee that it being a real benefit to people that want to use their horses in the service of others in their communities. And we want to encourage the membership to do this, to come out and do this. And we also want to honor those people that use their horses for service. And we're hoping that we can give some recognition to those people that make a good catch or go out and find a lost child or thing. One of the things that, and this goes back to the kids, one of the things that we always did at Metro Nashville, and that all the mounted patrols do across the country, is they spend a lot of time going to schools. The Just Say Whoa program fits in with it. But we did a lot of kids camps. We did the FOP summer camp, a lot of inner city camps. We did a lot of stuff with the State Ag Museum. We would bring we'd have about 5,000 inner city kids that had never got to see or touch or be close to a large animal.
Right.
And be around horses. And the horse for law enforcement was a great tool to get these kids to you, to come to you and talk to you and find out that the horse was the draw. But we benefited from it by building those relationships with those kids. And one in particular that I will never forget is I had a young man in his early 20s. I was sitting up on the pedestrian bridge. This was at a Titans game, and I watched him, and he just kept, he waited till everybody left, and he come up. He said, I just want to talk to you for a minute. And I get a little emotional about this because this shows that what you do, no matter where you are or what you're doing, you can touch people's lives. And this kid said, you probably don't remember me. I was about 15 years old, and you were at the youth camp, the FOP youth camp, and you let me sit on your horse. You got off. You put me up there. He said, I never forgot that. He said, I graduated high school. I went off, went to the Navy. When I got out, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out his badge.
Wow.
And that shows you that you can really – you can really help people with using your horses. And you never know when you're doing it. So that's
right.
One of these things that you can do.
Well, and let me ask you this, J.D. I wanted to ask that. What is the effect on people when they are in a crowd situation or at some of these events or if there are things that happen to have a horse involved? Versus just
one thing they can see you.
Yeah, you're a little higher than you would be on foot.
Yes, and that's a real big benefit for mounted patrols is that you're up there where people can actually see you. If you were an officer standing on the ground, people can't see you. So if they need help, they know where to find you. Like
right,
I mean, they're looking right at you.
Yeah, are you
and
more see approachable?
A people is great.
Yeah, are you more approachable when you're on a horse?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I think people want to come up and pet the horse, and they'll take a few minutes to talk to you, and so it's a great public relations tool for your departments.
Right. Well, that's great. That's great. And I don't know whether I may be confused or not, but did you have a situation where there was a young man that was close to jumping from a bridge? That maybe am I just imagining?
Yeah, it was during the country music festival, and he. Was very distraught and had climbed over the railing and was screaming into his cell phone. His sister told him he was fixing to kill himself.
Uh-huh.
And the only way we could get up to him is I rode the horse up to him, and he asked if he could pet my horse, and we made a deal. I said, if you'll let me talk to your sister on the cell phone, I'll let you pet the horse. And so I was able to get him to come back across the rail. Of course, he was hanging over the Cumberland River. And then I just slowly sidepassed the horse a step at a time until I got him in the middle of the bridge. And at that time, we were able to put our hands on him, get a hold of him. But it seemed to take the rage out of him while he pet the horse. He quit screaming, and he was talking to the horse. I don't know what the horse said to him, but whatever it was, it worked.
Well, that you know, not only do horses change lives, but they save lives. And so I think really that makes these types of programs and people that are involved in mounted patrol or search and rescue and equine therapy, you know, you just can't put a price on that and the value and the importance that has. And Kevin, you talked about taking a pony to the hospitals. So you're practicing equine therapy and doing a service project with your horses now.
Right. Yes, we do. Whether with inner city kids or rest homes or, you know, that kind of thing.
We need to talk.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. Yes, we do.
I'll see you at the versatility show.
Yes. I was really excited listening to your story.
Yeah. Well, I think we all three were thinking the same thing. I bet Rick was too. So, you know, this is a valuable program that's being put into place. Everything that involves horses and young people and horses and older folks, I think, brings value to life. And the relationship that people have with their horses is just immeasurable and just extremely valuable. So we encourage people to get involved in a program like the Service Horse Project, if that's of interest to you, the equine therapy program. Certainly, we encourage people to get involved in versatility and equine sports of any kind, whether it's rail or trail riding or any of those type of activities with their horse. It really makes a difference in lives. And I tell you, I've been in the business world for all of my life, and that's getting to be decades now. And I've never found anything that is that provides the stress relief that just spending some time with my horse and brushing and talking to him. So we bring value to those things that we that we treasure in life and the people that we come in contact with. So it's a great thing. Rick, let's talk just a little bit more about let me mention this too. If you have an interest in learning more about the Service Horse program, you can go to the website, that's twhbea.com. And find out more about how you can get involved in that. You can reach J.D. Harbor at TWHBEA. I think that's your email address.
It is. JD. It's J.D. Harbor at TWHBEA.com, and it's on the website.
Okay. All right. So please be sure and get involved and reach out and find out more about that program as well. And, Kevin, what's your website?
Bayfield Farms with an S.com.
Okay. Bayfieldfarms.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can find out more about what Bayfield Farms has to offer in that area and get your kids involved there if you have an opportunity to do that.
As well as on Facebook.
As well as on Facebook. So what is that, Bayfield Farm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Bayfield Farm on Facebook. We have the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association page on Facebook as well. So I hope some good information that you've gathered today from just these two things. Rick, let's go back and talk about the versatility program for just a minute, the versatility show. And let's remind folks again that that is July the 25th through the 27th. That's next Thursday, a week from today, at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And putting on a show like this is really not possible without the support of sponsors. So we'd like to recognize those sponsors for just a minute. So tell us who it is that's helping provide this great show for people.
Gary, I have a really big list here. I'll do it very quick because I know that we're pressed for time. I'd like to mention my corporate sponsors. That's $1,000 or more. That's Manipro, Bill, which is a kind of anonymous donor that's been with us for years. I do know who that is, a very nice guy, always contributes. The Thorson family donated $1,500 this year. Our friendship sponsors of $500, Good as a Gates, National Bridal, Western Sky Walkers, Mountain View Walking Horse Ranch in Wyoming, Arthur Gordon. Our class sponsors at $250, BAL Kitchen Transport, Joanne Dow, Bayfield Farm, Valley Vet, Batter Keyser, First Kentucky Securities, Southern Woodcraft, Rick Weiss, Darby Oaks, Yankee Walkers. $100 sponsors, Starnes, give us three of those $100. Sherry Zook Stable, Maplecrest, Farmers, First Farmers and Merchants Bank, New Horizon, Rockaway Hills, Connie Graves, and Connie Graves again, Hobby Horse, Jarrett Band and Soy Oldenburg in Germany, Illinois Walking Horse, Stellar Farms, Lisa Steinbeck, Rutherford Farmers Co-op, trophy sponsors, Wine and Walkers, L&M Awards, Chris Peppermeyer, Champions, Legends and Licorice, Chris Van Horn, Kim Widener, Lookout Hills, Dave Wagner, Sandy Harrison, Clear Springs Ranch, Upper Cumberland Walking Horse, Shooting Star Farm, Legends Steakhouse, two class sponsors. I hope that was fast enough.
Well,
we really appreciate those sponsors.
Well, that was pretty fast. And I guess, you know, if you'd like to participate, there's still an opportunity to do that by contacting Kristen Stiegel at twhbea.com or at 931-359-0592. 931-359-0592. And that's Kristen Stiegel, and she can help you with that. So it should be a great. Go ahead.
Let me just add that, you know, our versatility program is designed with 27 different divisions, everything from extreme sports and so forth. We have yearly awards and we have lifetime achievement awards. I encourage everyone to go to the website, familiarize themselves with our versatility program. Last year we have honor rolls and that type of things. Last year, we gave out 596 certificates through our versatility program, certificate awards through our program.
Well, that's great, and I'm going to mention this. I'd like to see the World Versatility Show expanded to 5 days and include an extreme cowboy competition. and a cowboy mounted shooting competition. So
I absolutely agree with you. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I know that we've got folks that are involved in the breed that are certainly ready and willing to help get those programs kicked off. Tracy is great, Tracy Pinson, and I know she'll do what she can to help with that. And Marty Luffman, who does a lot of the cowboy mounted shooting with his horse Doc Holliday, has offered to make himself available as well. So wouldn't it be a fun time to have the extreme cowboy race, the cowboy mounted shooting, all the barrel racing, the horse shows, the service horse competition, and just a big 5-day event that people could get out and enjoy and see maybe in 2014. So that's my
little... TWHVA, Gary, has put on several extreme cowboy events that we have sponsored and have done very well. They're just not held in conjunction with the World Versatility Show.
Well, maybe we need to do that this next year. That's another discussion. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Hey, listen, I appreciate very much Rick joining us from Montana, JD from Nashville, Tennessee, and Kevin from Oxford, North Carolina. You've shared some great information with our listeners today, and I appreciate so very much you taking the time from your schedule to be on the show. Let me mention again that the National Equestrian Trail Conference is going on in Rock Hill, South Carolina, today through the 20th. If you want information on that, it's netc2013.com, and I'm sure you could still make arrangements to attend part of that conference. Briarfest at Lexington, Kentucky at the Horse Park, the 18th through the 21st. And meet Ranger T. Walker and Ernie Brubaker and Linda Starnes and Sue DeLaurentis. That should be a fun event there. And then, of course, the World Versatility Show, the 25th through the 27th. And then the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Futurity. We highlight the babies up through the 3-year-olds, and that is a lot of fun. Some new classes that have been added this year for that, and that's on Sunday the 28th. And then that's followed by the International Pleasure Horse Championship Show that runs the 29th through August 3rd. So we have 10 great days here in Middle Tennessee. If you're anywhere in the area, that's all located at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And let me mention that it is air-conditioned. So on a day like today in Tennessee, that's very much appreciated. So anyway, put those events on your schedule. Again, let me thank our guests so very much, you three guys, for joining us. For Ernie Brubaker, for calling in on his way to the Kentucky Horse Park today. And next week we'll have a great show. It will be at noon Central Standard Time. We have a tremendous schedule of guests lined up for August, and so I think that there'll be information and some guests that you'll want to listen to and talk to. So we're here every Thursday at noon Central Standard Time on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening today, and remember, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.